Thanks for checking out this week's episode of the Seth and Joe Show podcast. Before the guys get to ranting and raving about the latest in professional wrestling and mixed martial arts, be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, and Podomatic. You can also find them on Facebook at facebook.com/The Seth and Joe Podcast. With that said, Seth, Joe, over to you guys.
What that intro did, Joe?
What's up?
Here's a better intro for you.
Listen, I'm eating some Popeye's chicken. Baby, when I tell you Popeye's will bless your soul, do you hear me? These biscuits. Hey!
Oh, that's God, it. I love you. I thought that was going to be the one with the song. Yeah.
How's that McRib taste? Oh, that was dumb. Cut it out in post. I don't know.
No, it's staying in. Hey, it's the Seth and Joe Show, everybody.
Still consuming this caffeine.
Yeah, so. It's episode something or other. Takeover. Every time I think about it, I keep wanting to say War Games. I don't know why.
Because War Games is it still got you in a bad spot there, Joe?
It must. That's why it's like still on my mind. Takeover Vengeance Day.
Fucking Spot Monkeys.
And Elimination Chamber. Wow, we actually... It repeated the song.
That's how long we went. Have to fire that intern that's working on audio.
You're supposed to stretch it out, pal. So before we get to Takeover and Elimination Chamber, these fucking Wrestling Observer Awards...
I didn't even know about it until you were telling me about it. I was like, dude, they paid those fucking guys.
Well, so, like, I didn't even, like, I subscribed to the Wrestling Observer website, and, like, I didn't even know about the Observer Awards. And I saw, who was it? I think it was Excalibur. He, like, on Twitter, he was like, oh, thanks to the Wrestling Observer for the nominations or whatever for the Wrestling Observer Awards. And I was like, what did he win, like best announcer or something like that? And then I looked it up and then I was like, oh dear God, it's like 95% AEW. And like, you can say whatever you want about like, obviously the Wrestling Observer and like Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez and all that. And you could say whatever you want about like AEW. But some of these nominations or these categories, I guess, like I would not say Jon Moxley was Wrestler of the Year.
No.
Especially for a category that says the Lou Thesz Ric Flair Award.
Yeah, no.
That kind of...
No.
No. Most Outstanding Wrestler... What is wrong with my mic? There we go. Most Outstanding Wrestler, Kenny Omega. I mean, I know Kenny has his fans. Tag Team of the Year, The Young Bucks. Best Interview, Eddie Kingston.
Eddie's a good promo guy. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's all of these are obviously debatable, and that one is debatable as well. But I think Eddie Kingston is pretty good on a promo. Promotion of the Year, AEW. Best Weekly TV Show, AEW Dynamite. Pro Wrestling Match of the Year, Young Bucks versus Adam Page and Kenny Omega.
Really?
And this is... Wait, what was 2020? I thought the FTR Young Bucks match was way better, but what do I know?
They just want to throw Kenny in as many as they can.
I guess so. U.S. Canada MVP, Jon Moxley. Japanese MVP, Tetsuya Naito. Mexico MVP, Rey Fénix. Europe MVP, Walter. I mean, that's... There's not that much European wrestling going on at the moment, so that one's kind of like...
I don't know, man. I agree. That's also debatable as well with Dragunov.
Ilya Dragunov.
Yeah, Dragunov, excuse me. Yeah, he's been, at least from what I've been watching just on the weekly NXT UK shows, he's been pumping out some good, really. Even that one he had with Tyson T-Bone was pretty goddamn entertaining.
Still gotta watch that one. Maybe they're just going off of the fact that, like, Walter's held the title for, like, 600-something days
now. Who's gonna wrestle him? Besides, you know, there's not a lot of, like, contenders that they've built up on NXT UK.
Yeah, well, also, for the longest time, I think NXT UK was shut down because of the pandemic, so, like, the majority of 2020, he was just, like, sitting at home, so I don't know.
I mean, what, are they gonna throw A-Kid up in there? Jesus Christ, yeah. You know, like, or...
Walter versus A-Kid.
I mean, that was basically just an ass whooping that whole match.
Yeah. Hodge Award? Oh, Danny Hodge, I'm assuming. Hodge Award non-heavyweight MVP Hiromu Takahashi. Women's wrestling MVP Bayley.
I don't know about that one.
This'll grind your gears. Best box office draw, Conor McGregor.
Yeah, best box office draw to get knocked out in two rounds. Okay.
Yeah. Feud of the year, Moxley, Eddie Kingston.
That even, what?
They feuded for like 3 weeks.
I didn't even know that happened.
Yeah, it was it Revolution? I forget what pay-per-view it was. It was not their last one, but the one before that, which might have been Revolution, I don't remember. They had was it a hardcore match?
Probably.
It might have been a hardcore match. It was a good match, but like they feuded for seriously like,
well, I'm not
3 weeks and then
saying Moxley's awful or anything. I just don't. I don't know. Well, go ahead.
I wouldn't call it feud of the year. Most improved Britt Baker. I would kind of agree with that. She's gotten a lot better. Most charismatic MJF. The Bryan Danielson Award. Zack Sabre Jr. The Bruiser Brody Memorial Award or Best Brawler, John Moxley. Best Flying Wrestler, Rey Fénix. Most Overrated, Bray Wyatt. Most underrated, Ricochet. Rookie of the Year, Pat McAfee. Best non-wrestler, Taz. Is that supposed to be like a manager?
I guess. I'm still a little... most overrated, Bray Wyatt, huh?
Yeah.
I'm throwing Cody in that shit. Fucking most overrated. Cody's, you know, he's fine, but I think he's, for somebody who wanted to break out and do his own thing, he's kind of riding his dad's coattails at this point. You know, he's AEW's fucking WCW 2.0, so.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. It's just because they being the Wrestling Observer, they hate Bray Wyatt so much. I guess it's not... They hate The Fiend.
Okay, it doesn't make him overrated. Was just because people like his character? I mean, you can't sit there with a straight face and tell me that most of that goofy shit that they're throwing on AEW isn't overrated with the WWE crowd. So,
no, that's true.
I don't. Yeah.
Best TV announcer, Excalibur. I would agree with that. He's pretty good. Worst TV announcer, Michael Cole. Best major wrestling show, AEW Revolution, February 29th. I guess Moxley and Eddie Kingston wasn't at Revolution. Worst major wrestling show, WWE Super Showdown from Saudi Arabia. I think that was the one. Was that the one where Goldberg almost killed Undertaker?
Probably.
I think so. I can't remember. God. Best wrestling maneuver, Kenny Omega's One Winged Angel. Most, I think they came up with this category just to shit on WWE.
Probably.
Most disgusting promotional tactic, WWE firing people during a pandemic during a year where they were setting profit records. I mean, that's fair, but I think they literally just came up with that.
Yeah, just, I mean, okay, whatever.
Worst TV show, Monday Night Raw. Worst match of the year, Braun Strowman versus The Fiend. Swamp fight from the horror show at Extreme Rules. Worst feud of the year, Bray Wyatt versus Braun.
Let's go back to that one real quick, because I get tired of people throwing the fucking pandemic whenever they got a problem with something, and that's, they try to like, because the Bloody Elbow, which is an MMA website that I would go to, basically, since the last 4 years have turned their, especially after COVID came around, kind of turned their platform instead of covering MMA just to bash, you know, because it's a different, but let me just say this. Yeah, it's fucked up, but at the same time, in a business where usually people who get released out of WWE pretty much have a fucking, for the most part, have a lot of opportunities open for them to make up that lost profit, I wouldn't even go that with that. Oh, it's a disgusting tactic. It's like, shit, even Enzo's making fucking money after he got released from the WWE. So it's not like I got fired from the WWE. I guess there goes my career right there. So just fuck these two guys. You know? Fuck you, Alvarez, and you too, Big Dave.
Speaking of Enzo, I guess they did a
big cast coming back.
And, yo, you saw it. Okay, yeah. Yeah, dude's fucking ripped, man.
He's huge. Yeah. I saw it. Just the way of him standing next to Enzo. I was like, Christ.
Yeah. Worst promotion of the year, WWE. Best booker, okay. Tony Khan.
Where's Impact in all of this?
Yeah, that's what I was saying last night. It's like everything in here is narrowed down to AEW, New Japan, and WWE, but it's like Ring of Honor's still running, Impact's exactly. still running, like... All these places are still...
MLW.
NWA was running at least for a quarter of last year. Promoter of the year, Tony Khan.
Is he the... when you texted me, I thought it was Booker of the year. I was like, is he even the fucking Booker?
What's happening?
Wait, Tony Khan's a rich kid with a blank checkbook.
Wait, hold on. Mic check. Hello?
I hear you. Was your microphone stink too?
Huh?
Was your microphone stink too?
No.
Like it took a little whiff and you had like some a fart phase or something.
That's weird. No, it's like. Hello?
Hello?
Does yours sound okay?
Yes.
Oh, weird.
I love how you had to put your most professional business voice on for that one.
I know.
Hello?
Hang on.
Exciting in the world of horror movies. Oh no, that's Psycho Goreman. We're not going to talk about that. Even though it's a pretty damn funny movie, but everybody thinks I'm immature for liking it, but it is what it is. Let's see. Anything good coming out? Probably not. What's this? The Pale Blue Eye, starring Christian Bale. Possibly a sequel to The Deep Brown Eye. Starring Jessica Biel. Oh. I kept our crowd entertained while you were gone. You can sift through that when you're in post. Little EMP action.
Hello. Why can I... What? Okay. There we go. That was my head. My headphones. Weird. Thought I was going crazy. Sorry for the technical snafu, folks. Best gimmick, Orange Cat. What in the fuck is going on with my headphones? God damn it.
Fucking Alvarez hacking into our equipment right now.
He's.
God damn it. God damn it. Let me ask you a question. Okay? So, I'm watching fucking Raw. well, here's the thing about
okay,
and I told her, I said it's my beach ball, you know, and what the fuck are we talking about?
Those were my bananas, okay? Those were my bananas.
God damn it.
When I was listening to that on my way to work, I was like,
this is what I pay $13.
This is what I pay fucking $13 a month for. Jesus Christ.
It's like, just call me on my phone. I can give you the same fucking dialogue for free. I said, no, those are my bananas.
But okay. So here's the thing. So, you know, I hit her with a banana.
So you gotta, this is how Dave talks. Like, his lips are pursed really bad. All that. So, you know, he reminds me of my fucking salesman Rich from Mark's 90, the way he talks, like, oh, yeah. Dead on. I swear to God.
Oh my God. Best gimmick, Orange Cassidy. Worst gimmick, The Fiend. Best pro wrestling book, The Young Bucks, Killing the Business from the Backyards to the Big Leagues.
Really?
Which I'm pretty sure there was only one book that was released last year. One wrestling book.
How many chapters is in that book?
Too many.
It's just one.
And then best pro wrestling documentary, Dark Side of the Ring, Owen Hart. So these awards, I mean... Look, if you don't like WWE, which that's fine, like... They're nowhere near like the greatest wrestling promotion ever, but it's like, you might as well just say, you know, we hate WWE award, Wrestling Observer, whatever. But when I saw those categories, I was just like, really? Like, I don't know. It's just like some of the, like I was telling you last night, like I don't think Wrestler of the Year would be Jon Moxley. I would consider Drew McIntyre Wrestler of the Year personally, but, considering that, like, you know, he kind of led the company through a pandemic and was consistently putting on great matches, and he was cutting like great promos and having like awesome storylines with, you know, like Randy Orton and whoever the fuck else he wrestled last year. So a lot of these are very like, kind of like, I don't know about that. Some of them are debatable. Some of them I do agree with, but you know, I just kind of couldn't help but laugh when
it just sounds like they're, I mean, it is what it is. I know people be like, well, you know, it's subjective and blah, 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 blah. But honestly, it just sounds like this is who they know, who their crowd that listens to them. And I mean, it is what it is, whatever. But I just feel like that was basically a big middle finger to Vince McMahon.
Oh, totally. Pretty much.
It is what, I mean, you know, I tell you all the time. I'm like, look, you know, you say what you will about Vince. The dude, yes, he's very out of touch, blah, 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 whatever. But the guy still run the most successful wrestling promotion for how many years now, and has defeated how many, you know, people that have tried to go up against him and basically bought them in the long run. So yeah. I mean, everybody's talking about Tony Khan. I mean, Tony Khan, on what he's doing what fucking Ted Turner did, the same damn thing
pretty much.
It's a guy, rich dude with a blank checkbook, that, you know, he's spending money like, you know, like it's going out of fucking style. I mean, you know, it's, you gotta, whatever. I mean, it is what it is.
The thing that drives me crazy, and I was, before AEW like even started, I don't even remember if I said this on the show or not, but the one thing that I was saying was, if they want to be successful, they need to, number one, be different than WWE, and number two, not pick up all of their released wrestlers, which is like what Impact and TNA did for fucking, that was one of the reasons that I hated TNA, because like, you know, Mr. Kennedy gets released, well, he goes to Impact, and then Booker T gets released, well, he goes to Impact, Kurt Angle and like Drew McIntyre and like all these other guys. It was just like, it ended up being WWE light. Mm-hmm. And instead of trying to be different, which is what they were doing up until like 2004, 2005, they were different, which is why TNA was so awesome in like the early 2000s. And then they just picked up all these, you know, ex WWE guys and Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff. And they're running like an old, you know, WCW NWO, whatever storyline. And now AEW is doing the exact same thing. I mean,
Bullet Club.
Yeah. Like they're a fucking Bullet Club. It's 2020, 2021. And like the Bullet Club's back. And then Sting is back, and then like
61 or six. How old is he?
61.
Jesus Christ! I'm surprised Brian Cage didn't kill him.
Oh my God, the powerbomb! And then now, just what was it? when's...
Damn, they're just pulling... Alvarez is just pulling out all the stops trying to interrupt our podcast right now.
It's Big Papa Pump! Then... and then it was like Wednesday or Thursday, whatever day it was, they announced that they just signed the Big Show.
Yeah, I saw that. Like, and I was like, are you shitting me right now?
Like, what...
Maybe 10 years ago, this would have been a big deal, but now I'm like, who gives a shit?
Like, yeah, like, if Big Show had gone to, like, TNA, that would have been, like, it wouldn't have made a difference, but, like, that would have been at least kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, like, they didn't sign him. I mean, obviously, he's more than likely going to wrestle, but they straight up announced that he's just going to be doing commentary.
Oh, he's wrestling Shaq.
With,
that's happening.
Yeah, no, 100% that's happening, because, like, they've got Shaq for this match with Cody. But WWE wanted to do him versus Big Show at, I forget which WrestleMania it was, as like a marquee match. And then, like, it didn't happen for whatever reason. So, no, it's 100% going to happen. But they straight up announced that he's going to be doing commentary with Tony Schiavone on their new YouTube show. I don't remember what it was called. It's like AEW Dark Elevation or something like that. So they've got, like, another YouTube show that they're doing, I think on Mondays, and then they've got regular Dark on Tuesdays, and then Dynamite on Wednesday. It's like, man, if there's one thing I want to see or hear, it's Big Show on commentary.
Yeah, because that's what he's known for, is, you know,
yeah,
his charismatic speaking abilities.
His smooth, silky-sounding voice. Jesus. Like, I don't know. Exactly. Takeover, Vengeance Day, which was
a couple weeks
ago. Not last Sunday, but the previous Sunday. It's a good show.
Yeah, it was. It was very good.
Yeah. The overall, I mean, there is a couple things that I found to be kind of weird on the show, like the opening women's tag. Mm-hmm. Me and you were just like, what is going on?
Yeah,
who's heel, who's babyface? And then I was like, are Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez babyfaces? Like, did I miss something? And then they, like, flip-flopped during the match, psychology-wise, like, a few times. And I was like, what is going on? It was really bizarre.
What's happening?
Yeah. So, like I said, the opening match was Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez versus Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart. Like I just said, it started off fine, but then they were setting up Raquel or Dakota to make the hot tag to Raquel, which, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't that usually set up for baby faces?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Heels don't tease hot tags.
Really. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I don't watch NXT like weekly unless there's something that I just like, I want to see on the show. But I was like, I'm pretty sure Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez are heels.
Yeah, because that's, I was watching the matches, the semifinals or whatever, and they, like, through the tournament, they were working as heels, so that's why I was like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, and, like, Raquel, as far as I knew, was a heel. Dakota has been a heel since she turned on Tegan Nox, like, 2 years ago. So, yeah, it was really bizarre, but, like, the match itself, it was fine. I mean, that one spot where Shotzi got Dakota up on her shoulders and then Ember did that crossbody from, like, was it the ring apron, or the, yeah. Okay. And she gave her like a crossbody, like almost like a
doomsday device,
almost like a doomsday device. And that was fucking scary. Shotzi almost killed herself giving Raquel a sliced bread number two. Oh,
Shotzi's always trying to kill herself. It's just a matter of time before she gets hurt.
Every single match. And I'm shocked that she hasn't gotten, like, seriously injured.
She's always, like, even when she was working the indies, man, she was doing some shit. I'm just like, damn, you know, I mean, you do you. I just feel like some of the stuff she does, like, we were always, like, watching her do that, that bounce, where she bounces on the, I don't know if she still does it, but she'll bounce on the top rope, like, setting up, and then she cannonballs off of it or something. But she does, like, a couple of bounces on the top rope before doing it. And I'm just like, I remember Kenny and I were watching one of the show, when she worked in East Bay show. We're just like, man, you know, one of these days, like, all it takes is a small slip and that's going to be rough. So, but yeah. I mean, so far she's been really, really lucky, even with some of the shit that she does. And I mean, more power to her. She can get away with it. Hey, I mean, dude, you do you. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
I dig her work. So, hey.
Yeah. It's just like, and she's still young. So, I mean, you know, she's not like, you know, Sting's age, for example.
No, yeah, she's young.
And she's, I mean, not gonna, it's not like where, you know, there's fear of like if she does something, she's just gonna like paralyze herself.
I mean, I don't think she's still in her 20s or anything like that. She's got, I think she's in her 30s.
28.
She's 28. Damn. She, I mean, I'm not saying, like, I didn't say that because of how she looks. I just feel like she's been, I've known like her on the indies, yeah, at least, because she came in our, that she came up in our area and stuff. I felt like she was like around my age at this point, but
yeah.
Hey, whatever. Yeah. I mean, you're still in that point where you're like, I don't know, I'm fucking invincible. Hey, and you're not at that point yet where you're old decrepit Joe the ref over here. Like, I've blown out two knees. I got a peg foot and fucking gangrene on four of my toes. That's for a separate issue, but fuck it, I'm throwing it in there anyway.
Thanks, Kenny.
all the pile drivers.
Yeah, all those fucking pile drivers. Yeah, so I mean, the match itself, it was fine. It wasn't. I think it was definitely the weakest match in the show. It was just it was kind of sloppy in parts, and like I said, the psychology in the match was just really bizarre. But Dakota and Raquel ended up picking up the win.
My pick for the tournament for that. Well, actually, both my picks. Both ones, hey.
Oh, the women's and men's.
For the women's and men's, yeah. Yep. I picked Raquel and Dakota, and then MSK for the men's.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's this week on NXT, they're doing Raquel and Dakota versus
Shayna.
Nia and Shayna for the women's tag titles, which, oh boy.
How many whole spots are we getting on this one? At least, I'd say two.
I was actually going to say two. And then after that, we had Johnny Gargano versus Kushida for the North American title. So, when you got here, I was kind of rewatching TakeOver to refresh my memory, and I missed something, when you and I watched it live. When, you know, I think Kushida came out and then they were doing this little backstage thing with The Way where they were kind of like hyping themselves up. And as they were walking to the ring, you can see Dexter Lumis coming up from behind. Mm-hmm. And then he grabs Austin Theory and he, like, you know, puts a rag over his face and then, like, goes behind a corner. I missed that.
Oh, I saw it. They showed it on the following episode. Like, I was on the replay. Or actually, it was this last episode when Gargano wrestled Lumis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they showed the promo.
Okay, yeah. When we watched it live, I missed it. I thought I must have looked away for, like, a split second. But, like, all I remember was them walking out to the ring.
And then, where's Austin?
And then
Theory?
Austin was just gone. So, yeah, I missed
that. Shaggy of the Scooby Gang.
Oh, Jesus. Goddamn, this match went almost 25 minutes.
Well, it's a Gargano match. What do you expect?
Oh, yeah, it's true. He's got to have at least one 20-minute match a month or something. But this is a really good match. I mean, it was very technical for the most part. A lot of reversals, holds, things like that. To this day, I still, same thing with, of course, Rhea Ripley. What are they doing with Kushida?
Well, that's what I was saying, because then, like, spoiler alert, I just watched the last episode, and then I was like, oh, so, feud Kushida gets jobbed, okay, whatever, and then now it looks like Dexter Lumis is going to win the belt off of Gargano, because he just beat him in a non-title match, and I was just like, yeah, I think Vince just doesn't like Japanese talent, man. I mean, Shinsuke had a pretty good run on NXT, he was like tag champs with Cesaro, right? Or something?
Nakamura?
Yeah.
Yeah, on SmackDown.
Has he been like Intercontinental champ or anything?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He won the, he's won a lot of titles. He was tag team champion. I think he won the U.S. title like twice.
Okay.
He won the Intercontinental title, and he held it for a while. But he didn't really defend it that much.
I don't know if that's all Vince, though. I feel like that's more of a Paul thing than anything else.
As far as...
like, because it just seems like, I don't know, because, like, they've had, like I was telling you, I was like, WWE has had huge Japanese names in, they have Shinsuke, they had Kenta, and they have Kushida. And I mean, Kenta, I don't know what the, like, because he's had some really crazy, some great matches since going back to New Japan. And I mean, he's not, you know, the young buck he used to be. And like, he's been through some wars and stuff. So I'm sure his, like, style has had to kind of change a little bit. But It's just like, it feels like they're doing the same thing with Kushida at this point. Like, he's there to whoop out, you know, like they've changed him from being like the time splitter to like, dude just beats the shit out of everybody. But it's almost like they got him and now they're like, now what?
Well, now what?
You know, like, what do we do now? What do we do this week? You know? Yeah. Well, he lost to Gargano, Vince. What? Well, now what do we do?
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't like what they're doing with Kushida, because then I saw what Loomis beat Gargano. I'm like, well, fuck Kushida, right? You know?
Yeah, it's like, okay, so Kushida couldn't beat Johnny Gargano one-on-one, but inevitably, Dexter Loomis is going to beat Johnny Gargano.
Yep.
Like, and it wouldn't surprise me if... So what I think they're going to do is... because the way it was kind of like laid out to me was... Dexter Loomis kidnaps Austin Theory, and then he just, like, lets him go, or I forget how they...
Yeah, Stockholm Syndrome.
Stockholm Syndrome, yeah. So, I think what they're going to do is, like, when they inevitably do Dexter Loomis versus Johnny Gargano for the North American title, Austin Theory is going to somehow prevent Johnny from winning.
Well, him and Indy Hartwell.
Yeah.
They're both, because she thinks he's hot.
Oh, that's right. Shit.
He's hot. What? Yeah. That's what Gargano... What?
And so, like, they're going to somehow prevent Johnny from winning, and Dexter Loomis is going to win the fucking North American title. So, it's like, it's like you said, it was like, well, fuck Kushida,
is
right?
Is this what's going to split the way? Like, is Dexter Loomis going to start his own, like, the way, and it's going to, like, have Austin Theory and Indy Hartwell, and then that's how they're going to move Gargano away from, like, the title, like, that title, and then now what, him and Candace will feud with Theory and Hartwell from that point on.
Oh, my God.
Even though, oh, Candice LeRae, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sure she's a sweet person, but I just don't get it.
Anytime I see someone defend her saying that she's a good worker, I'm just like,
she does some cool stuff here and there, but
she wrestles in slow motion. Yes. She's very sloppy.
Yes.
And she has this, like, what's the word? Like, when I watch her in a match, she always looks lost.
Yeah, considering how, like, frequently she's worked in the business, too, before she even got to WWE. It's like, what the fuck?
And
like,
I know,
how are you still, like, kind of green in parts? You know, you've been in the, like, business for a minute now, and you've been around some great talent, considering that she basically came up through PWG.
What was that one match that she did with where she got busted open, she was bleeding hella bad? Who did she wrestle?
Was that in PWG?
I think it was PWG. I just remember, like, when that match happened, everyone was like, oh, Candice LeRae is awesome. She's a badass. And, like, I saw parts of that match, and it was fucking gnarly, but...
I'll have to look that one up. Maybe it was Adam Cole, maybe? I don't know. Let me look.
I can't remember. But I just remember everyone, after that match that she had in PWG, everyone, like, hopped on the Candice LeRae hype train, and when she came into NXT, I was like, oh, okay, cool.
I think it was her and Joey against the Young Bucks in an intergender match, I believe.
Okay.
Because I think they were doing, I'm not really sure, but I don't know. She was involved in a lot of, like, high-profile feuds in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla as well.
Yeah, a lot of, like, intergender stuff.
Yeah.
So then when she came into NXT, I was like, oh, okay, sweet, you know, this will be cool, and then, like, She has not impressed me once, like, and, like, even at that one takeover, whichever one it was, where she wrestled Io Shirai, I think it was for the women's title. No, it wasn't for the women's title. It was just like a grudge match, and everyone was like, "Whoa, man, that match was great!" You know, Candice LeRae held up her end, and I was like, "That match was all Io." You know, I mean, cool, and I got downvoted on Reddit, but whatever.
You know my feelings about social media at this point. But.
Gargano and Kushida, it was a good match. Like I said, it was very technical in parts. A lot of reversals. They were sort of working over each other's arms at one point. And actually, one thing that Gargano did that was very subtle, and I didn't catch it the first time we watched it, he would go to pick up Kushida with the bad arm. I don't remember which arm it was.
Sell it.
And he would, like, he wouldn't go to, like, pick him up and go, like, ah! He would, like, go to pick him up, and then you'd see him kind of, like, hesitate,
mm-hmm.
and then he'd use his other arm. And I was like, oh, okay, that was very subtle.
What?
Yeah. I know, it's like, what? Gargano psychology?
Psychology?
Holy moly.
Psychology in general, Jesus Christ.
I know.
It's like it's a lost art, man.
I know. Like, anytime I see any kind of psychology, even if it's like the most, like, the smallest little thing, I'm just like, oh, thank God. Wrestlers doing psychology. Like, thank you. You know, he's kind of favoring that arm, and then Kushida would work over that arm as well. Like, at one point, Johnny was on the entrance ramp, and Kushida, like, ran to, like, the way end of the entrance ramp near, like, where the wrestlers come out. And Johnny's just like, no. And then Kushida just, like, fucking books it and just kicks him right in the arm. And I was like, all right, well, that psychology's out the window, I guess. He couldn't just, like, he's, like, 50 yards away. And Johnny's just like, oh no, nowhere to go. And he just turns around and just, Kushida just boots him in the arm. But the end of the match was Gargano hitting the one final beat DDT on the entrance ramp, and then he hit it again inside the ring to pick up the win. So they're more than likely, I don't know when the next takeover is, probably the weekend of WrestleMania.
Probably. Yeah.
But I would bet money that that's when they're going to do Gargano and Dexter Lumis for the North American title. After that, it was MSK versus Grizzled Young Veterans for the Men's Dusty Classic Cup. I was really, really wanting the Grizzled Young Veterans to win, but I kind of knew that MSK was probably going to win. I mean, they're not going to bring in this brand new tag team just to have them, like, especially when they went over, I don't remember who they wrestled in the tournament, but they basically went undefeated throughout the whole tournament. And then Grizzled Young Veterans, I mean, they came in for a little bit prior to the Dusty Cup. I don't remember who they wrestled though, but, you know, so I kind of figured that they were going to go over, but in the back of my mind,
breakout performance for the Grizzled Young Vets, I think, because there's a lot of eyes that, you know, probably weren't really very familiar with them that saw, you know, might have seen them for the first time. It's like, damn, these guys are really good.
Yeah.
I like them. I think they're great. They're a great tag team, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like, Zach Gibson, when he came in for the UK tournament in, I don't remember what year it was, but I had never heard of him prior to him, you know, being in the tournament. And so when he won the tournament and wrestled Pete Dunne, I was like, that's what a weird, like, choice to have win the tournament, but okay, whatever. And you know, after that, every time I watched him, I was like, god damn, this guy's really, he's pretty fucking good. Like, he's a good talker, he is a good wrestler. And I didn't realize that he based a lot of his moves off of Nigel McGuinness. Mm-hmm. What's that one submission? It's like something Gates.
Oh,
it's like Shangley Gates, or it has like kind of a weird name like that, that Nigel used to do. And I guess Zach took that from Nigel. And did you watch the Nigel documentary on the network? So during that match, so like near the end of the documentary, it shows, like, you know, how Nigel got into the WWE and like him doing commentary and stuff like that. And they had like a GoPro camera like set up on the announce table, and it was like a picture in picture thing where they were showing the match, Zach Gibson versus Pete Dunne. And on the other side, it shows like Nigel. And when he locked in that submission, though,
is that the arm, like where he's kind of like over the back, almost like a camel clutch, but then he's got that, like, it's an arm bar, like an arm submission. Okay.
It's like Shangley Gates or something. It has a weird name, but fucking Nigel is marking out. And he, like, stands up at the desk. He's jumping up and down. And he's like, he's locked it in! He's locked it in! And he's just, like, jumping up and down. And you can see, like, Mauro Ranallo, like, next to him, who is just kind of, like... And Mauro is usually the announcer who, like, marks out during, like, a great match.
Yeah.
But Mauro is just, like, sitting at his desk, just, like, staring at his monitor. And Nigel's next to him, just, like, jumping up and down, fucking marking out. Anyway. So, after that tournament, and I started watching Zach Gibson more, I was like, man, this dude's pretty fucking good. I really want them to, like, give him a proper, like, push, because like the dude can wrestle, the dude can talk, like he's really good on a mic. And his partner, James Drake, his gimmick is that he just doesn't talk. He's like a mute.
Yeah.
And every time they do like promos, I think they even did a promo one time where I think it was NXT UK, where they came out to cut a promo and like Zach Gibson's talking and James Drake like has a mic, but he just never talked. And I was like,
didn't he do like he was going to say something a couple of times?
Yeah.
And he gets interrupted before like he can say something.
Oh, that I don't know.
I think I've seen him where it's like he's about to speak into the microphone and like Zach will interrupt him somehow and say something else, or like kind of keeping it where he's like he doesn't say anything.
Basically. They might have done that. Yeah. But this was another, it was a really good tag team match. This fucking Wes Lee dude. That's Desmond Xavier,
Desmond
right?
Xavier, okay. Yeah.
He dove from inside the ring
over the post.
Yeah. And did a dive onto Gibson and Drake, and I was like, Jesus Christ. And that doomsday device that they gave to fucking Wes Lee, where Gibson had Wes on his shoulders and James Drake did a running dive through the ropes and just fucking
clotheslined the shit out of him.
Oh my god. That was brutal. And during when me and you watched the match, we were both like, okay, that's it. Like, this is how they're going to get the win. And because they sold it as like death.
Yeah.
You know, like he hit him and he did a backflip and just like landed right on the ground. And of course, he was back in the ring like, what, 3 minutes later or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I was like, oh, he's dead. That should put him out. And I was like, because I was like, oh, well, I guess I was wrong. It looks like Grizzled Young Vets are winning. And then I saw him get back on the ring apron. I was like, no, that was like death you just took, man.
It's like you take the Road Warriors like finishing maneuver, essentially, but you're doing it to the outside.
Yeah.
So it's like that should have been it. But, you know, of course, he came in like 3 minutes later. But MSK ended up getting the win with, I don't know what the name of their finisher was. It was Nash Carter got James Drake in he was almost like a heart attack position.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Wes Lee did some move off the top rope and ended up giving him it was a really weird
didn't he like do like a corkscrew and almost like a blockbuster type deal, like a
something
Phoenix,
like that,
like a dragon senton flip into like a blockbuster or something like that.
It was something like, it was really weird, but that's how they got the win. So they get a future NXT tag team championship match, but apparently I guess Wes Lee broke his hand on NXT this past week, so that kind of sucks. After that, it was Io Shirai versus Mercedes Martinez versus Toni Storm.
I think this is the only match that I didn't pick. My pick didn't win because I picked Toni Storm in this one.
Oh, okay.
I was like, man, the way they kind of hyped up Mercedes before the match, too. I was like, well, I mean, maybe, you know, you never know.
It was weird because they just kind of threw Mercedes into the match. Like, she came back because she was originally in Retribution.
Yeah.
But they sent her back down to NXT and she just kind of like popped up out of nowhere and just did like a couple matches here and there. And all of a sudden, she's in the triple threat match versus Io and Tony. And I was like, okay, maybe they're going to have her win. Like that would be really bizarre. Like I like Mercedes, but
yeah, no, she's been around for a long time and she's a very hard worker. I've heard nothing but really good things about her.
Yeah. Oh, she's 40. Wow.
She's been in the business for a long time, but I mean, she's supposed to be like, cause she did a lot of work down for, AWS, Alternate Wrestling Show in SoCal, and I know like Kikyo and Shotzi and a couple other people from our area have worked with her, and I've heard just like nothing but really good things about her.
Yeah, I mean she I'll put it to you this way, she doesn't show her age
she
moved great, everything she hit looked great, like I nothing
she
bad
probably
to say
takes
about
care, she takes care of herself, you know. It's not just about, you know, it's that people don't realize, like, it's not just about lifting weights and stuff, it's about like also giving care to your body as well, especially in like that, you know, in a business like that. It's a lot of young talent are just like, you know, trying to kill themselves now, and it's, I mean, they're not really taking care of their body. I mean, they are with like weight, you know, they're eating right and all that kind of stuff, but there's a lot more that goes into that as well, like, you know, just taking, you know, just care, you know, self-care really.
Yeah. So I mean, the match itself, it was fine. There was nothing really wrong with it.
Was this the one where the table just fell apart?
Yes. I forgot about that. Yeah. I missed that when I was rewatching the show earlier. Yeah, there was a spot where I believe, let's see. I think Tony was trying to set up Mercedes. Well, she did something against the announce table, and what they were, I think, going to do was, I think Tony was going to put Mercedes on the announce table. There's going to be a big schmoz, and then Io Shirai was going to do
the moonsault.
The moon. Oh God, the scary ass moonsault.
Because she ended up doing it on him anyway. I think.
Yeah. And then you know, blah blah blah. But the table just kind of collapsed on
caught
itself.
The vapors. Yeah. It just caught the vapors and collapsed. I would have shit.
I know, seriously. Ooh, sorry. Lordy. And so that was like the only sort of botch in the match, which it wasn't. Really,
it was funny. It was one of those things like, yeah, all right, it happened. What are we gonna do? Keep moving on.
Yeah. But that was really the only sort of botch in the match, and it wasn't anyone's fault. It just happened.
It's just a malfunction. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a spot where, let's see, Mercedes gave Tony Storm a German suplex off of. So Tony is sitting on the top rope with her back facing the middle of the ring, and Mercedes comes in and gets in the Tree of Woe and gives Tony a German, and she lands right on her head. And then Io Shirai went up to the top rope and gave her a foot stomp right on her fucking sternum. And she just like took a nasty bump. It was really sort of like a basic sort of triple threat match. Like nothing really out of the ordinary. There was that cool spot where, I think Io had Tony in a crossface, and then Mercedes came up and put Io in like a dragon sleeper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that like sort of like double or a three person submission, whatever you want to call it. I used to love it when Jericho and Benoit would do like the walls and then the crossface. Yeah. I thought that was so like clever. My girl Io retained.
Io's dope, man. So I was just, well, because I was watching her match with Zoe Stark, and I never really like paid attention to her theme song, man. I just dig her entrance, man. She's got like a swagger about her.
Oh, it's great.
It's just, it's really like, it gets you like hyped. It's a lot like, I mean, it's like kind of like Asuka. Like you just, you know, you get that intensity.
It's not just here we go.
It's not like an intensity like I gotta scream at her. It's just you feel like that vibe when she comes out, and you're just like, man, you know, it's just you appreciate that atmosphere that this person brings to this, you know, just this entrance. You know, yeah.
It's crazy because when she first came into NXT, she was just like the white meat babyface, and like I always liked Io Shirai, even before she came in, But then, like, once she turned heel, I was like, oh, man, this is fucking great. Like, she did, like, that it's essentially the same entrance that she's doing now.
Yeah.
And it's like you said, you just, like, when that bass hits on her song, you're just like, oh, man, this is going to be good. And she just, like, starts screaming, and she's, like, whipping her head back and forth. And I was like, man, I fucking love Io Shirai. So I think they're setting up... Did anybody interfere in her match?
No, it wasn't interfere, but I think they're still doing, I think she's still kind of going feuding with Tony Storm.
Oh, that's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah, because she beat Zoe Stark, and then Tony came out and did a, because that's when I was messaging you. I was like, whoa, Jesus Christ.
Oh, okay. Yeah. If anybody's seen Tony Storm, you know what we're talking about. So yeah, they're probably going to do a rematch at some point, whether it's at TakeOver or at some point on NXT.
It'll be a good match, I think. Yeah. They're both very, you know, they're really, you know, I know I'm sitting here and talking about like, oh, Tony Storm, ooh, vapors, but no, I appreciate she's got some really great in-ring talent, and I, you know, I'll look forward to a match with her and Io Shirai, and it's just a singles match. It'd be really, really, really good.
Yeah, I think that's what they were originally going to do, but then, like, for some reason, they just threw Mercedes in there, which, fine, whatever. But yeah, they're more than likely going to do a rematch at some point, and it would not surprise me if Tony ends up winning. And then the main event was Finn Balor versus Pete Dunne for the NXT title. Spoiler alert, this match was really good.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, at this point, you know, I don't think Finn Balor can have a bad match. I don't think Pete Dunne can have a bad match. It's like they did a lot of submission and joint manipulation stuff. I think the biggest news to come out of this match is the Undisputed Era is finally broken up.
Only one person is happy about it, and it's me.
Yeah, after the match was over, what happened? Oh,
they came out and you were like, God damn it, did Balor just join Undisputed Era? Oh, never mind.
Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch came out and they were beating up on Finn Balor, and then Undisputed Era comes out, or Undisputed Era minus Bobby Fish, and they sort of like fend away Pete Dunne and Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. And then every time NXT does this, where, you know, something happens and then, you know, it shows like a little copyright thing in the corner, I'm like, something's going to happen. Cause they did that. The first time I saw them do that was at, the takeover where Sami Zayn won the title against Neville. And they did like this big celebration for Sami Zayn. And, you know, the last person in the ring with Sami is Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
And then they're doing this big, like, you know, brotherly love type stuff. And like they show the little copyright thing in the corner as Kevin and Sammy are walking up the ramp. And then Kevin just like throws him down on the ramp and then gives him a power bomb on the ring apron. So every time they show that little copyright thing, I'm like,
something
I don't trust this. Something's going to happen. And so it's Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong doing the little, you know, Undisputed Era thing. And then Finn Balor is standing in between them. And that's when I was like, don't fucking tell me Finn Balor is joining Undisputed Era. And then Adam Cole super kicks Finn Balor. And Roddy's like, you know, what are you doing? What's going on? And then Kyle O'Reilly's like, you know, what are you doing? And Cole's yelling at Roddy. And then he just turns around and super kicks Kyle. And that essentially broke up Undisputed Era. And then on NXT this past week, Adam Cole is cutting a promo and he turns on Roderick Strong as well. So essentially, like, Undisputed Era is like completely split up for the most part.
Makes me wonder if Adam Cole's getting brought up. I feel like he's been in NXT, he's had the belt a couple of times. I feel like it's, and hella people love Adam Cole. So I don't know. I feel like he's going to get called up pretty soon.
I know you're not a big Adam Cole fan, but God, I fucking hope not. Like, he's not like my favorite wrestler. I like Adam Cole. But I feel like if he goes up to the main roster, he's doomed. Cause like I think he's like as tall as me, and he actually might be, he's probably like as tall as you actually. But he's fucking small.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I feel like that's why Gargano's kind of, I don't think he's ever, I think he's on NXT for, cause he's that dude's small, man.
Yeah. Well, and him and Ciampa were going to get called up a couple years ago, but then I think when NXT went on TV, they were just like, no, you stay over there.
Well, you go in there, guys. Stay yeah. in your corner.
So, I mean, it's just like every time somebody gets called up, unless you're, God, let me think. Unless you're Seth Rollins, like, if you get called up, like, you're doomed. Like, everybody that's been called up to the main roster has not done well. I mean,
except Kevin Owens, Cesaro.
Cesaro,
he's getting, well, I mean, he didn't just, when you say don't do well, there's different, like, tiers to that. Because it's like, I mean, it's not like Ascension level bad, you know, where it's just like, you're the hottest tag team. Because they were like,
man, dude, I liked Ascension.
They were fucking, like, hot in NXT. Like, crowd was always hot for these guys.
They had awesome entrance music, too.
And then they were always, like, just beating everybody up. And they were like, oh, it's the new version of, like, Legion of Doom right here, kind of like. And then they went to the main roster and, well, where are they now, you know?
They're the, they were the, oh God, what are they called? The shit. When they were like the, not the bodyguards, but they were like, they were with, Cody Rhodes when he was Stardust.
Oh,
okay. And it was like, they were called like the Cosmic Wasteland or something like that. But I was like, I actually kind of dig that. Like, that's kind of cool. And then of course they did nothing with them. And then they ended up just releasing them. But I actually really liked Ascension when they were in NXT. I thought they weren't like an amazing like workers or anything like, but it was like you said, they were just a couple. Yeah. They were like essentially the new like Legion of Doom.
Better than Authors of Pain.
Oh God.
What happened to those guys? Where are they at now?
They got released.
See, that's how
I know. One of them got injured like, I don't know when they got called up, 2017 or no. Doesn't matter. One of them got, they got called up, but then one of them got hurt. And then when that dude healed up, they came back and then one of them got hurt again. And so, I think they got released during the pandemic. Mm. So I don't know where they're at, but,
well, they weren't very good. So I don't know. They might not have got picked up anyway because they were still like super green and they're big motherfuckers. And didn't they hurt a couple people in NXT too?
Yes. I don't remember who though. They're not Nia Jax bad though.
No.
Yeah. I mean, as far as like hurting people, but, I forget my point of this, but anyway, so yeah, Undisputed Era is broken up now. I don't know what this means for Bobby Fish, who I'm sure he's a nice guy, but he's not that great and he gets hurt too much.
No, he's been around for a while too. So
yeah. And I didn't realize how old he was. I thought he was just like late 30s, but he's like 42 or something like that. So yeah, that was TakeOver. It was a good show. I think this is probably their best TakeOver in a while. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I talked about War Games on this show or not, but I did not like War Games. That put me in like a sour mood watching that show. And it wasn't even that like the wrestling on War Games was bad, but just I just don't like War Games matches. Mm-hmm. And that fucking main event just went on forever.
Well, it had Adam Cole in it, man. What do you expect?
Yeah, it was, who was in that match?
Undisputed Era and Oni Larkin. That's the one with that one guy, Pat McAfee.
Oni Larkin, Danny Burch, Pete Dunne versus Undisputed Era?
Yeah.
Was Finn Balor in that too? I don't remember. Anyway, doesn't matter. Yeah, I just, god damn, dude. Like, I mean, you got my 8,000 text messages during that show. I was just like, oh my god, this match will not fucking end. But so yeah, I think that was the last TakeOver before Vengeance Day. So this one was a much better show. And then
Elimination Chamber happened.
Sour
taste came.
So
another 8,000 text messages show.
Holy shit. No, I didn't. I think the only thing I bitched about was, to you at least, was Miz cashing in.
Yeah. No, well, there's a few people, like, you were about some stuff.
Maybe the women. I don't remember. So, we're not going to go forever about this show, because this show, like,
booking-wise, awful.
From a wrestling, purely, like, in-ring perspective, in a vacuum, I thought this show was fine. The best match on the show, I think, was the SmackDown Elimination Chamber match. I thought that match was very entertaining. Why they're having Daniel Bryan? Because they're going to do, or at least they're teasing it, Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns at Fastlane. And they did a match on SmackDown where it was Daniel Bryan versus Jey Uso. And if Daniel Bryan won, then he wrestles Roman Reigns at Fastlane. And then it went to a no contest. I think a double count out or something. And obviously, like, I love Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
But it's like, and you and I have talked about this a bunch, but it's like, you go how many months with Kevin Owens feuding with Roman Reigns?
And, like, brutal match after brutal match.
Yeah. And then he gets pinned by Jey Uso in the Elimination Chamber match, and it's just like, okay, next. Like,
if their feud is done, what the fuck was the point? Like, you basically just had Kevin Owens, and I'm sure he's fine with it, but, like, dude just, like, put his body on the line for what? Just because you're trying to make Roman look strong for Mania, pretty much? Is that what the whole point is? Even though he's not looking strong, he looks
gotta
like
make Roman look strong,
he just
pal.
Looks like a big goof at this point. It's like he's got a... Dude's supposed to be a monster, and now they've got him basically just, like, taking, you know, having little shortcut, little technicalities to keeping his title, pretty much.
It's like every single match has been like that.
Yeah.
And it's not making him look strong. He's winning via technicality. And that's like what drives me so insane about like main roster booking. It's like there's you can always depend on at least, and I'm talking Raw and SmackDown, you can always depend on there being at least one disqualification on each show.
Mm-hmm.
Very rarely do matches end clean, meaning like interference or like,
yeah,
like technicality or something like that. Something. And it's like, that's what drives me so crazy when like that Royal Rumble match with Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns. It's like, okay, Kevin's probably not going to win, but why does it have to be fucking bullshit with like Jey Uso and then like the handcuffs and like all this other shit. And then, oh, the referee got knocked out. Well, and then another referee's got to come in and then blah, blah, blah. It's like people have been bitching about Roman Reigns for years about, you know, Vince pushing him and all that shit. And he's finally doing, from like a character perspective, he's finally doing an awesome job, but now they're not making him look strong. Now he's having like Jey Uso interfere for him. And he's doing all this other shit. It's like,
I think Jay's going to be the reason he loses the belt. I think Jay's going to get fed up with doing his dirty work for him and turn on him.
Probably.
I think that's what they're going to do. And then it'll be something like that. And then maybe they'll have Uso versus Uso whenever his brother comes back from injury or something like that. I don't know. I just, the way I've been watching it and seeing like it, and then they did that promo where like when it was part of the buildup for the Elimination Chamber match, like when Roman's like he's got Jay's forehead pressed up against his and like talking about like if you win you'll know where to fall in line, pretty much like even if you win you know where your place is type deal. Yeah. And I just think eventually it's going to be like Jay's going to turn on him and cost him the belt at Mania, I think, whoever he's facing. I'm still holding out for Edge versus Christian at Mania. I'm still, that's what I think's gonna happen. I mean, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, whatever, but we still got Fastlane, and that's when they like to throw their little curveballs and shit. Yeah. So
I mean, I'd like that too, but
I don't Edge knows. If they, because you know, if Ed, they actually do that, they're gonna pull the trigger on Edge winning the belt, and it's gonna be like, really? Where's all the people that are mad about Brock Lesnar holding the belt and being a part timer? And now they're gonna be like, yeah.
Ooh, our guy Sexton Hardcastle is WWE champion or Universal champion. Anyway, so yeah, SmackDown Elimination Chamber, Daniel Bryan versus Kevin Owens versus Jey Uso versus Sami Zayn versus Cesaro versus Baron Corbin, King Corbin. This was, once everybody sort of got into the match, I thought this was a pretty entertaining match. One thing that I liked was, I think, was it Daniel Bryan? I think they were like working over, I think Cesaro was working over, I think, his knee.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
then
why he did the one-legged swing.
Yeah. I thought that was actually really cool. An actual, like, you know, a reason to do the swing.
Yeah.
You know, instead of doing it just for like a cheap pop or whatever, like his, you know, knee was worked over, so he gives him one-armed swing. And I was like, okay, that actually makes sense. and then Sami Zayn with like his audible like commentary throughout the match, where like Kevin Owens grabbed him and he was gonna throw him against the cell door or whatever, and Sammy's like, oh my god, what are you doing? No,
he's like, we're not like him, we can do this. He's like, wait, what are you doing?
That was funny.
Oh my god, what are you doing?
Yeah. And then he comes out with his documentary crew as well. I was like, fuck, I love this. It's so cool. But yeah, the booking in this match, like I mentioned, it was just really bizarre. I don't know why they're all of a sudden going with Daniel Bryan as the guy to face Roman when...
Because isn't he a regular on Total Divas?
I don't think Total Divas is on anymore.
Or Bella. Don't they? I thought the Bellas had a show.
I don't think it's on anymore.
Oh, because he was on. Maybe that's why they're like, you know, hey, people know, because that's what they want for, you know, that's what they're trying to get. They're trying to get as many eyes on Mania as they possibly can. Sure. Because they got a crowd and it's the biggest show of the year. And maybe they just want, you know, that's the problem, though. That was what I think. I think that Vince is like so gung. He's like so excited. Just like, oh, my God, we're going to do it. But he just has like no idea what he wants to do for the card, really.
Yeah, I mean, there's only, as of this moment, I think there's only two matches official for WrestleMania.
I know. Well, we're going to get Sasha and Bianca. That's going to happen.
Well, they announced it.
Okay.
Yeah. On SmackDown on Friday, they advertised her, Bianca, announcing her decision.
Oh, she's going over.
And she picked Sasha. So
she's going over.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got Sasha versus Bianca Belair at Mania, and then supposedly Edge versus Roman Reigns at Mania. Who's WWE Oh, The Miz. Fuck.
Well, that's the thing. People think Miz is going to drop the belt to Lashley at Fastlane, and then it's going to be Lashley versus McIntyre at Mania.
Probably. Well, we'll see.
We'll see. Fastlane's always the curveball show for swerving the fans.
At this point, every show is a curveball show.
Yeah. Elimination Chamber was just like, what the fuck is happening right now? Like,
yeah. So then Daniel Bryan ended up winning, and then they immediately did Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan for the Universal title. I wouldn't really consider this a match, but one thing that I thought was really cool was Roman was setting up for the spear at the very beginning, and as he went for the spear, Daniel just immediately turned it into a yes lock. I thought that was super cool. But then Roman like picked him up and like power bombed him and then gave him a bunch of like elbows and then locked in the guillotine, and Brian, he was just like unconscious. And then that's when Edge ran in and speared Roman Reigns and then pointed to the sign
really hard to let him know it's WrestleMania season, Buster.
Yeah.
And you're in my yard now.
Yeah. So that's when they made it. So they didn't make it official right then, even though it was obvious. Like Edge is pointing at the sign, his theme music's playing, there's pyro and confetti flying everywhere, and Michael Cole is like, oh, I wonder if this means Edge has made his decision. I was like, I think it is. And then they announced, I think, like, I don't know, like the next match or something like that. It's like, oh, it's official, Edge versus Roman Reigns. Jesus Christ. And then after that, it was Matt Riddle versus Bobby Lashley versus John Morrison for the U.S. title. It was originally supposed to be Keith Lee in this match, but they pulled him for some reason. And on the pre-show, it was, oh God, a fatal four-way Ricochet versus Mustafa Ali versus John Morrison versus someone else, I can't remember, to replace Keith Lee, and then John Morrison won. It was actually a pretty good match on the pre-show. But this match, it was Bobby Lashley just like destroying both of them, like simultaneously. And then Morrison and Riddle worked to get Bobby Lashley out of the match so they could like face each other. And then, Lashley ended up getting back in the ring and doing the same old shit. And Matt Riddle ended up, someone's at my door. And then Matt Riddle ended up pinning Morrison with the Bro Derek.
And when I heard that, I was like, did he seriously just name his finisher after Bo Derek?
Yeah.
Do people even know who the fuck Bo Derek is?
I don't know who Bo Derek
is. She's an actress. She was an actress.
Oh.
Look, Tommy Boy with Chris Farley.
Oh, okay.
She was, did you ever see that?
Long ass time
she's
ago.
She's the chick that was working his dad, and she was end up actually like married to Rob Lowe, who was supposed to be like her son. And they were working them.
Oh.
Yeah, that's Bo Derek.
Cool.
Yeah.
all of his moves have like bro in it.
Bro. Yeah. It's, somebody was saying like Matt Riddle plays the stoner that actual stoners absolutely fucking hate.
Pretty much. yeah, he has like the Broton and like the Bro Derek and what was the other one he had? There's another like bro something move that he has. I can't remember, but anyway, Matt Riddle is the U.S. champion.
Bro.
Cool. I mean,
are we going to get Matt Riddle and Keith Lee at WrestleMania?
I doubt it.
It's possible. If Vince is feeling froggy, he might pull the trigger on that one.
Maybe.
And then people will be like, that's the greatest match since Keith Lee and Donovan Dijak or whatever. Okay.
Oh, boy. And then after that, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler versus Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was rough. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I didn't really pay a whole lot of attention to this match because I saw a lot of sloppiness and, to be fair, from both sides.
Yeah.
So I just kind of zoned out. But Nia and Shayna ended up retaining. Cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool,
cool. Yeah. There was, what was that one spot? They mentioned something about Nia's hole in the match, and I forget what it was, but I just kind of like, I think that was the thing that made me like zone out. I was just like, I swear
congratulations,
to God,
you're finally over because you're fucking hole.
I was like, I think I even told you this. I was like, I swear to God, if they make any mention of Nia's hole in this match, I'm not watching it. And like, it was like, I think 2 minutes in or something like that. And, I think like Bianca mentioned something about her hole and I was like, oh, my hole. And I was like, I'm done. I'm not doing it. And then was there only four matches on this? No, five technically.
Just wait for the live crowd at Mania when the hole, 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 hole. That, you know, there's gonna be a hole chant. I hope you know.
Yes. And then what was supposed to be the main event was Drew McIntyre versus Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton versus Kofi Kingston versus Sheamus versus AJ Styles.
What was the point of Jeff Hardy being in that match? Just because?
Just because.
Jump off something.
Oh, No. It was, all the participants were former WWE champions.
All right.
That was like the gimmick.
Okay.
I mean, this match, it was all right. I mean, there wasn't really anything... trying to think now. There wasn't really anything like that blew my mind or made me like excited necessarily for this match. Kofi's commentary for Randy Orton's quads were kind of funny.
Your quads are thick. Okay.
Yeah.
What was that about?
Yeah. And then Randy ends up getting rolled up by Kofi and he's like the first one eliminated. And
it's because of Alexa Bliss's ghost.
He said on Raw that the reason that he didn't win the Elimination Chamber wasn't because... how did he word it? He said it... this isn't verbatim, but he said something along the lines of the reason he didn't win the Elimination Chamber wasn't because of Bray Wyatt being on his mind, but it was because of Alexa Bliss. And I was like...
Okay.
Are we getting Randy Orton versus Alexa Bliss at WrestleMania? And then he threw up black goo.
They're doing the Papa Shango thing instead of it coming from the forehead. Do you remember that when Papa Shango would make the black shit come down from the person's like forehead and stuff? And he did that with like Ultimate Warrior when he was feuding with Warrior and everything. And that was the whole thing. Like black shit would come down from their forehead.
Weird.
Like, you ever see The Fifth Element?
No.
You didn't see The Fifth Element? Mm-mm. Well, go watch that movie because it's fantastic.
Well, I'll go watch it right now, and I'll come back, and we'll finish the podcast.
You'll know what I'm talking about when you see the scene. It has to do with Gary Oldman.
Oh, no, I have seen The Fifth Element. Yeah.
Where are the stones?
It's just, it's fucking stupid. I hate this shit.
Fucking wrestling. What are we doing here?
Fucking wrestling. See it? That's it, folks.
Closing up.
Yep.
We're going to go do a podcast about wood whittling.
So then anyway, you know, the chamber match, there wasn't really one thing that was kind of dumb was, so let me think what happened. So,
AJ's botched 450.
Well, there is that, but what I was
gonna go do this again.
What I was thinking of was, they were doing something where like AJ didn't want to get in the ring and, was it when Randy got eliminated? I can't remember. But anyway, AJ like didn't want to get in the ring. So he wanted to like leave. So Omos like tears off his the glass shit or whatever. So AJ could get out of his pod. But then he gets back in the ring anyway. And I was like, all right. I don't get that, but cool. And then, yes, like AJ went for a... So what happened was... did he do it to Drew?
Yeah, he did it to Drew.
So I think what happened was Drew was too close. And as AJ like springboarded to the top rope, he saw that he was too close. So he just did a senton, right?
Yeah, he did a flipping senton. Yeah, senton bomb. Yeah.
And then did he end up doing an actual 450 after that? Yes. I can't remember. Okay, yeah. So yeah, he went for a 450. Drew was too close. So he did like a senton. And then he ended up doing an actual 450 after that. And then, so it came down to, let me see here. It came down to Drew and AJ. And then Drew ended up hitting the Claymore for the win. And then... B minus. What the? Oh, for the. So, never mind. so then after that, Miz cashed in.
Well, first Bobby Lashley came in.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So
Drew McIntyre, because you know when you drop the United States title, that's just putting. Oh, that well means they're going up to the big belt, I guess.
I guess. So yeah, after the match, the cell raises up or the chamber raises up. Bobby Lashley comes in and just destroys McIntyre, and then Miz cashes in the briefcase and hits. I think he hits a skull crushing finale and pin Drew. So, like, a lot of people were, like, the people who were, like, bitching about this, the people who defended it were like, well, you know, he's just a transitional champion. It's not like he's going to be champion all year. Like, what are you complaining about?
It's dumb.
Exactly. Like,
it's just dumb.
It's stupid. Like, I don't give a shit if Miz drops the title. Like, they're doing Bobby Lashley versus Miz on Raw tomorrow for the title. I don't give a shit if he loses the title tomorrow. Like, it doesn't make sense to, like, just give him the title. And, like, if you wanted to have Lashley win, why not just fucking have him beat Drew? Like, it would make Lashley look stronger instead of, like, he just beats the shit out of Drew and then Miz cashes in and then Lashley beats Miz. Like, I don't fucking get it. And,
God damn it.
And they're even doing a thing where, so I guess the whole reason that Miz won was Miz made a deal with MVP that if Lashley beat up Drew and Miz was able to beat Drew, then Miz would give Lashley a title shot. And they were supposed to do that on Raw last week. And Miz came out and he was like, no. And then Lashley was like, he threatened to kick his ass. And he's like, okay, well, if Lashley can beat Braun Strowman, then, so they were always going to do Lashley versus Miz tomorrow, but they did Strowman versus Lashley on Raw. And if Strowman won, then he would be added to the match and it'd be a triple threat. But Strowman lost. So it's like, what the fuck was the point? And, like, all they did was, like, Strowman was talking about how unfair Shane McMahon's being to Strowman and how, like, he's a dipshit and all that. And Adam Pearce was like, because he was bitching about how he wasn't in the chamber match. And Adam Pearce was like, well, it was for former WWE champions, and you're not a former WWE champion. You're a former Universal champion. And Strowman was like, well, I think that sucks. And I was like,
oh, horseshit. So they should have had him say.
Yeah, they should have. So then, yeah, they just, like, Shane came out and he was like, hey, if you beat Lashley, then we'll add you to the triple threat or to the match next week. And then Strowman lost. He actually got his ass kicked in that match. So once again, like I was saying earlier, like every show seems to be like a curveball now, or it's just shit that just doesn't make sense. Like, you're making, like, you can say a lot about Braun Strowman, but, like, you have him come back and you're having him bitch and complain, and then he has a match where there's a title opportunity and then he loses. It's like, I don't fucking, like, one thing that I was thinking of was, like, man, how would Stone Cold Steve Austin get booked in today's, like, wrestling whatever?
Yeah.
Wouldn't work. And it's, I don't know. Anyway, whatever. Stupid. I hate wrestling. So yeah, that's Elimination Chamber. Like I said, in a vacuum, it was fine. From an in-ring perspective, with the exception of the women's tag, matches were fine. It wasn't anything to, like, write home about, but I thought the show was pretty decent up until Miz cashing in. So whatever. So we've got Fastlane coming up. I think it's not next Sunday, but the Sunday after that, I think. And then WrestleMania's after that. I don't think they have any matches announced for Fastlane yet. But obviously, they're probably going to do Miz and Lashley.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan. But that's about it. So, anything worth noting from that UFC show?
I haven't watched it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll watch it this week.
Yeah, I heard
a lot of decisions.
Yeah, I heard some stuff about the show, but I didn't really like dig too deep into it or anything like that. I saw John Jones was like tweeting a lot during.
Fuck that guy. Yeah, he's oh, this guy's gotta pick up the pace for when Daddy comes home, and then Francis Ngannou's all Daddy comes home with a bunch of laughing emojis. I'm like, John, you've been bitching and talking shit about moving up to heavyweight for probably about 5 years now, and then I guess it's coming down to money. But I'm like, dude, you've gotten to a point where you've had to basically kind of crawl, you know, eke your way to a decision like your last four light heavyweight title matches, because ever since I guess he's been not doping, he's been looking a lot less phenomenal than he did when he was doping. Mm-hmm. And to say that you're going to move up a weight class to fight guys that are a lot larger than you, and some of them are about just as athletic as you are, then fucking do it already. Like, I think he was trying, they kept teasing that he was going to face Stipe, and then they just announced Stipe is facing Francis Ngannou in the rematch, because apparently there was like the money talk with John fell through. And then I know Jan Blachowicz is defending his the light heavyweight title against Israel Adesanya, who's the middleweight champ at the, I think it's in this weekend actually, because they have three title fights. It's that one. Amanda Nunes against Megan Anderson for the women's bantamweight. And then what's the other? It's not Peter Yan, is it? Let me pull that up real quick. I don't think it's the Peter Yan fight with.
I heard something about Peter Yan.
Aljamain Sterling, because he's supposed to be defending that against Aljamain pretty soon. Yeah, it's Jan Blachowicz, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, oh, it's Peter Yan and Aljo.
Okay.
This weekend, I believe. Yep, this Saturday. Islam Makhachev and Drew Dober, that'll be a good one. Thiago Santos against Alexander Rakic, that'll be a good one. Oh, fuck, I didn't even know Dominic Cruz was... That's a prelim? Dominic Cruz is on the prelim? Wow, what? That's a stacked card then.
Wow.
But he's facing Casey Kenney, and I really hope Casey Kenney beats him, because I fucking hate Dominic Cruz, and when he got knocked out by... Cody Garbrandt, I laughed my ass off. Or not Cody. No, he lost to... Was it Cody or was it... who did he just lose to? And he tried... Was it Cody? Maybe it was. And he argued the finish. And he's still so sore over it. Let me pull it up. I got him right here. Let me see. Oh, it was Henry Cejudo.
That's right. Knocked him out. Yeah, I remember that.
He's still... That was May of last year, and he's still pissed about it.
God.
Fuck you. Kyler Phillips, Yadong Song. Kyler Phillips, I think I know who that is. Joseph Benavidez, Askarov, that'll be a good one. Kaikara France and Rodrigo... whatever. Brazilian. Not familiar... Sorry, I'll butcher his name. I'm not familiar with him, so I'm not really sure. I know Kaikara France is another guy that everybody was high on, but he's another... He just lost to Brandon Royval, and kind of show that dude's he's not as good as everybody thinks him. Tim Elliott, Jordan Espinoza, that'll be decent. Let me see, I'm looking through here just seeing. That's kind of, the undercard's kind of not as, seems like they put all the chips on the made card for that one. But it's a stacked card. I mean, even the non-title fights are, I mean... It'll be Drew Dober and Islam Makhachev. That's a good styles clash right there. I mean, Makhachev's a good neutral. He's a guy that's like, once he gets you on the ground, you're pretty much fucked. So, and Drew Dober's been kind of a resurgence lately with knocking people out. But yeah, should be a good show. I probably won't be able to watch it because it's my daughter's second birthday, birthday party. But it is what it is. I'll watch it probably maybe the following week.
There you go.
Good show. My picks. Peter Yan. I don't know, man. Aljo's just unpredictable with some of the stuff he does. But I if he wins again, I want to see him and Cody Sandhagen do a rematch, because that one just ended too quick. I think Cody or Corey did a ill-advised shot and then got caught and tapped. So, but dude's fucking great. So I want to see them rematch again. And then Nunes will probably beat Megan. And then I'm picking Yan. I'm going to stick with Yan, man. I was joking a couple years ago and I said, dude, this guy's like on a renaissance on his career right now. He started out in the UFC as kind of like a known, you know, just come mediocre kickboxer.
Yeah.
Dude's been finishing people. And
great.
I mean, I was shocked that he beat Dominic Reyes. So, and that's when he won the belt. But I don't know, man. Izzy, I just don't really care for Izzy. He's kind of a shithead. So I kind of hope he kind of gets humbled in this fight and see where it goes from there.
I mean, it seems like a lot of fighters who need to be humbled get humbled, but they don't end up changing.
Unless you're Conor McGregor and you just don't and then it's like, well, you know, you didn't get me 100%. Let's do the rematch. I'm obsessed with this rematch, as Dana would put it. He's obsessed.
He's obsessed because he has a paycheck with 7 figures on it.
Because people still fucking love that guy. And I'm like, dude's a piece of shit. Stop. Like, guy's got 3 friggin' separate sexual assault cases ongoing at the, you know, and the guy punches an old man in a bar because he won't drink his whiskey and shit, and he breaks people's cell phones and stuff. It's just like, you know, dude started a fucking riot at Barclay Center. You know, he put a bunch of people, you know, you heard a couple of fighters and made them miss out on a fight and a paycheck. You know, they don't make money like Conor does, so they depend on that. Fuck Conor McGregor, man.
Oh yeah, I agree. I was at the store the other day and I walked past his whiskey because I forgot what it was called at first, and I looked at it and I was like, oh, that's McGregor's whiskey. And I was like, nah,
it's just too, like,
I'm not a big fan of Irish whiskey anyway, but I thought about getting it just to try it.
Well, they're pushing that Howlerhead whiskey, banana flavored whiskey. That's what the UFC's pushing too. Not for Conor. It's just some of it's okay. Some sponsor. I don't know. I just saw that it was banana flavored. I was like, what the fuck?
What is it called again?
Howlerhead whiskey.
Howlerhead whiskey near me. $21. What is it with this fucking, like, flavored whiskey?
This is fucking hip. Everything has to be flavored now, Joe.
God,
look at the hard seltzer friggin' craze right now.
Howlerhead banana.
Fucking fruit. We just saw Sonic is putting out hard seltzer coming in May, for Christ's sake. And now they're like, oh, you like hard seltzer? Well, you're gonna love our flavored whiskeys, white people. Because we know who that's aimed at.
What do you mix with Howlerhead banana whiskey? Oh, this is a video.
A little chocolate syrup. Oh, this tastes like candy.
Huge hit. I've seen cinnamon. I've seen honey. Apple. I've seen apple. Now we got banana.
I'm not going to watch that.
One of the reasons why I hate the fucking internet now. It's just like it gives every random son of a bitch a platform to think that they're fucking important. And I'm like, well, what are we doing? We're talking on podcasts, but it's just because we like to shoot the shit. We're not like these people like, come watch our video where we drink flavored whiskey and tell you all the notes we taste in it. Like, oh, did you get cinnamon in that? I got a little, oh, what is that? I think that's clove. It's sneaky, but it's there.
I'm 23, fuck, and I understand you. What to look for in the flavors of alcohol.
My palate is very refined, and I was raised to catch notes like that. Fuck you.
Oh my god. Hey, sorry. At least we got one shoot promo on the podcast. I was planning on getting really mad about the whole Miz thing, but I was like, that's not worth it. I'm not gonna fucking get irritated over something that
Joe
happened.
Snorted a line of Xanax before the show and washed it down with a little Broken Skull IPA.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He's feeling pretty
drinking
good
a little
right
Steve
now.
Austin's Broken Skull IPA. It's pretty good. So yeah, that is going to do it for this episode of the podcast. I don't know. Probably the next one we'll do Fastlane, whatever that is. I don't even know when Fastlane is. I know AEW has, I forget what they called it. They're doing some sort of like special episode of Dynamite this Wednesday. I believe that's when it's Shaq and Jade Cargill versus Cody and
Red Velvet.
And then there's like one other match on there that's advertised. And then I think Revolution is next Saturday. It's either next Saturday or the following Saturday. So maybe we'll cover that. Who knows? But that's going to do it for this episode of the Seth and Joe Show. We will catch you guys next time.